This month on All Things Considered, I've been talking with authors who write in or about New Hampshire. Today's guest writes in the Granite State, but her book is definitely not set here. It's a dark fantasy novel set in an alternate version of 14th century England, with sorcery, battles, treachery, and plenty of blood. It's called Elisha Barber, and the author is E.C. Ambrose, who joins me in the studio. Welcome to All Things Considered.
Hi, thanks very much, Brady.
There are some creepy-looking cutting tools on the cover of the book, so we should start there. Elisha Barber is a barber surgeon, as you call it in the book. What exactly does he do in that work?
The barber surgeons were essentially the lowest class of medical practitioners in the urban world of the Middle Ages. And technically, he's just a barber. The surgeons would be the next level up, but many people are confused about the association nowadays with barbers simply cutting hair and handling beards. So during the Middle Ages, not only would the barber tend your hair and shave your beard, he would also perform bleedings, usually under the direction of a physician or of a master surgeon. He might do minor amputations, general wound surgery, as well as pulling teeth and performing minor operations.
And that issue that you mentioned of class, that comes up as he's brought to help some physicians during battles. And some of the people that he's treating are not thrilled that he's touching them with his peasant blood.
Exactly. It was one of the things that I wanted to explore in the book when I started doing research on the history of medicine during this period, is that idea of class not only within the medical system, but then the interactions between those classes of doctors with the rest of the world. So he's brought in to essentially handle the grunt work, sort of a field medic. But there are certainly many of the nobles and the knights who don't want him anywhere near them.
And that's despite the fact that he actually may be doing more for his patients than some of the physicians who are doing all sorts of techniques, which at that time were standard, but didn't tend to work out so well for the people getting them.
Right. The physicians were university educated, so they had often gone away, perhaps to Bologna, Salerno, Paris. They learned all sorts of interesting things from ancient books, which had very little relationship to the actual human body. Some of that knowledge is sort of disturbing. You know, many of their ideas were based on those of Galen, who was a first century Roman physician. And now we're talking 1400 years later, and they're still looking to him as an expert.
Some of the passages in the book are the kind of thing that someone who doesn't like to see the sight of blood would cringe, and that yet people who love dark fantasy are just going to relish. So as a writer, how do you find the right balance there?
I think a lot of it has to do with the intense relationship that I'm establishing with the character. He's going to carry you through those scenes, whether it's his compassion as a physician, as he's treating someone, so you can sort of focus on what is going on inside of him, or his relationship to the patient more so than what's actually happening on the page. I had a friend who read the book early on to give me some feedback, and there was one particular scene where he said, "I think you've really gone too far. I think this is too much." Now, he's a horror writer. So when he said that, I thought, I'd better pull back. When I reread the scene, there's almost nothing that actually happens on the page. It's all in Elisha's head. It's about that relationship with the character and what he's experiencing that makes it disturbing. And as a writer, I was excited by that. But I do think that the cover serves as a very good sign of what you're going to find in the book. If you are disturbed by the sight of those medical instruments, there are going to be some scenes where you might want to flip a little faster.
We've talked about Elisha Barber's day job, but what he learns through the course of the book is that he has this entirely different skill set that he didn't know about. It's an interesting contrast between his skill of trying to heal people and these more supernatural or magical powers that can cause great devastation.
Exactly. And if Elisha has a fatal flaw, it's his compassion. And what he finds is that he has this enormous magical potential that he needs to learn how to guide and use. But some of the people who are helping him understand that perhaps don't have his best interests at heart. So he's trying to find the balance between his compassion for people and his ability to use those powers, but not overstepping and not causing more harm than good.
Compassion is a quality that you don't see a whole lot of in this world. And there was another character, Martin Draper, who kind of sums up the world in a way. He says, "I contract, I conspire, and above all, I compromise." And he's not just talking about reaching agreements with people. Individuals are compromising their morality and their values just to get by. And it seems like everyone but Elisha has just resigned themselves to that.
Mm-hmm. many fantasy novels are sort of about a coming of age. It's a young man who discovers his potential, who goes forth. Elisha is an established professional. He has a position in the world. He has a place. He has friends. He has patients who depend upon him. And when he discovers this magical talent, it becomes very confusing for him. You know, how does he choose? Where does he go? And people start making him offers or suggestions that are asking him to compromise in that way that the other characters are sort of more familiar with. And it's those kinds of conflicts that, for me, are most rich as a writer.
When you're coming up with an alternate reality, you can get into pretty intricate detail about what that world is like. And you could include every single detail. It would be a really long book. So how do you decide what to keep in there and what to hold on to maybe for future use?
Research and world building belong sort of together as what we think of as the iceberg. So with an iceberg, you only see the top 1/9 and the rest of it is all under the water. But if you didn't have that part under the water, there'd be no iceberg. So in the book, you need to find exactly the compromises where you can suggest to the reader that the rest of that world is there, that the rest of the research has been done, but choose just the right things to show that will help to build a complete image. In my case, that means the most resonant details for the character. It might mean the telling details that will be suggesting something that happens later on, perhaps foreshadowing, as well as giving the interesting bits about the research that I did, especially in medieval medicine, and those that are particular to this book and that possibly wouldn't be found in other 14th century historical novels.
Do you think some of those details might pop up as the series continues in Elisha's next few adventures?
Oh, certainly. It's actually becoming, in some ways, more historical as I go forward. When I started, I wasn't sure if I wanted it to be strictly historical, an alternate history, or perhaps a secondary world that simply felt like 14th century England. As I move forward with the series, I've been doing even more research, finding all these sort of interesting bits and pieces of history that I can then turn into plot points or moments for the character to make more discoveries.
The book is called Elisha Barber, and the author is E.C. Ambrose. Thanks so much for talking with me.
Thanks very much, Brady. It's been good.